You can show me that first slide also. I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. Amen. So there's no better way to witness, a simple witness, and taking a selfie right now, some of y'all are doing, and saying, I'm at church. You can check in at the House of God because it has a locator on Facebook, Instagram, and go ahead and do that. That'll be a blessing to us, right, everybody? Also, I needed to remind you, Ignite, that's next Sunday night. A few months ago, churches got like 4 churches that are like-minded, and we worshiped within this building. We had food in the foyer, and it was great. We were able to eat. It was a pretty good turnout. We had a great turnout, and God was here. And so we're moving it to another church to rotate, River of Life. They're on South Cross. You can go ahead there in our bulletin, make sure that you have that. And would you do that with me? Join me at 6 p.m. We'll come together, bring a side dish, and you're able to eat that. And then we'll have prayer. We'll worship together and exalt the Lord. Bands are coming together, so it's going to be a great night for us. Right, everybody? Amen. Speaking of thanking people, just thank the great dream team of Living Faith Church. You worked so tirelessly. You did stuff on Wednesday. You did stuff on Friday. It's just been a week of serving today. You prepared for children to come, and you're still working. You brought tacos this morning. You're the greatest church on the planet. So I just want to thank God for you. Thank you, Jesus, for all the people of the Lord. Amen. You're a church of our dreams, and we thank God, Irma and I, God, thank God that we can serve here alongside of you and run with you, amen? Some of you are outrunning us now, you're faster, but we're keeping up as much as we can, right? Amen. And so this is the greatest day in history. Jesus was our comeback king, wasn't he? The eternal one, the eternal champion. Happy Resurrection Day. Tell your neighbor, Happy Resurrection Day. Tell the second choice that you didn't want to say hello to. Tell them anyway, Happy Resurrection Day. Amen. Tell them second choice. Tell them you're second choice, but you deserve a good Easter. Anyway, thank God for it. Amen. Let's welcome our first-time guest to Living Faith Church. Yeah. Amen. Make sure that you fill out that Connect card. It'd be our honor to give you a gift after you give us that. And we're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen. We're a going church, and it's in our DNA to do what we're going to do. Welcome Facebook Live. Amen. Come on, welcome them. They've joined us this Easter morning. Thankful for that. Do you have your message notes? If you don't, raise your hand high. On Facebook, your notes will be dropped down right now, or almost, or maybe they're already there. But if you need you'll also have a survey in there that's pretty important. We'll talk about that. Make sure that you get your survey for the 2019. We'll talk about that at the end of our service. We're in our Red Letter series, and we're concluding today with It Is Finished. But I want to invite you back next week for our End Time series. Are we living in the last days? What's going to happen at the end of time? We'll discuss that, not because we've read a book or took a pulse on the economy. We're looking at the Bible. That's the best book to look at, right, everybody? And so we're looking at that today. If you'll open your Bibles to John chapter 19, it'll also be on the screen, verse 30. You can have that in your devices. But let's look at Mark chapter 32. It's been our theme scripture for the month as we looked at the words of Christ in the Red Letter Living series today. And on their way up to Jerusalem, Jesus was leading the way. And his disciples were astonished, and they were afraid, and those that followed were afraid. And again, he took the 12 aside, and he told them what was going to happen to them, and that where were they going up to Jerusalem. He said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered to the chief priest and to the teachers of the law. They will condemn him. They will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him. They will spit on him. They will flog him. They will kill him. And that's just the weekend. Man, aren't you glad the weekend's over? Amen. 3 days over. Some of y'all want that weekend to go on, but not Jesus. He was glad that the weekend was over. Amen. We had a good Friday because it was his worst Friday. Do y'all understand that today? We have a decent Saturday because it was awful for him in the tomb today, but he was still working. Amen. It says here it goes. The weekend's over. 3 days later, what's he going to do? He will. He spoke about himself in the third person there. I'm going to rise. This guy's getting up out of the grave today. Amen. God is really the only superhero. We live at the multiplex, movieplexes with all these super, and I love them too. My first one, of course, I love Batman. I wish the Justice League would be a little bit cooler like Marvel. They kind of stolen that away. If you're into that, if you're a nerd like I am, Marvel's great and all that. But all they do is copycat what God's done. We believe more in these guys like Superman, Spider-Man, the Hulk, and all these guys because we see them on film, but it takes faith to believe in God. Jesus really lived. And he really rose from the dead, and he really walked on water, and he multiplied bread and fish, and he did all that stuff. And he had unbelievable superpowers. And these are called attributes of God. Somebody say attributes of God. Attributes of God. Attributes of God are the things that characterize God. There's power, there's fullness. And you got three superpowers that God has. So let's look at the real superhero, which is God this morning. Amen. And it says that God is all powerful, right? He's omnipotent. He has the power, and he has all the power. 3 days later, we took out that passage. 3 days later, he spoke of himself, I'm going to rise. And only a God could rise from the dead. One true God. The rest of them are fake, right? Well, Superman rose from the dead. No, he copied Jesus. Amen. He's a picture of Jesus. Jesus was the original. Superman's not real. Do you understand? Oh, one guy woke up now. He's not real? No, he's not. Jesus was real, and he rose from the dead, and only a God could do that. And so that's a powerful God, right? Only God could do that. The people of Israel needed to be reminded of in the Old Testament on how much God was powerful. So over and over, he proved his power. A flood, an ark. Noah stop Abraham, the knife stopping at the very point of just killing his son as a sacrifice. All these things happened in the Old Testament. And now the people of God were marching towards their promised land after being set free from a Pharaoh in Egypt. And a wall is told, march around this wall 6 times. You know how hard it is for people to be quiet around a wall, especially in church, marching around a wall? Can you imagine who wanted to talk? He wanted to say something, but God said, don't talk. On the 7th time, shout, and the walls will come down. Just on a shout. They didn't have any bazookas, anything to blow up the wall. They were going to shout, Almighty God, amen. And God brought the walls down. And then they approached the mighty River Jordan, which that time was flooded. And they said, we're going to walk across on dry land like we did the Red Sea, another miracle. And he says, I want to set up 12 stones that you'll have as memorials, 12 stones that you'll have as memorial points that you can point back the legacy that I put in you of legacy of faith. And he says, you know, Grandpa now taking out his grandchild and saying, you see those stones? That's when we walked across as a people to our promised land, and we walked across dry land, and those 12 stones are represented. Because we have a tendency of forgetting if we don't have mile markers, if we don't have things that are in front of them. That moment I met God. At that point, God changed our family, and God came in. That Easter, that resurrection day, new hope began in my life. There's a mile marker in your life today. Do you recognize that? Yes, amen. I'm preaching better than your amen, but that's all right today. Amen. And Joshua said, this is going to be a way of life now, that you would have legacy points. And he says in Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, and so he did that so all the people of the earth might see that the hand of the Lord is what? It's so powerful. God is full of power this morning today. So you might always fear the Lord. I'm going to be scared of God? He's a scary God? No, that you would respect God. That you would respect the reverence of God, because God is that way, that we would respect him because he's the Lord God Almighty. I've seen you move the mountains, Lord, and you'll do it again. You've never failed me yet. Mountains have been moved in my life. How about yours? Maybe not a literal mountain, but a mountain has been moved out of the way. I've seen God move in my life, and he'll do it again. God has never failed me yet. I think I use that word yet. Because sometimes I go, God, are you still here? Do you know what I'm going through, God? Do you have enough power to pull this one off? But my God has never failed me yet. And he takes me right to the edge where my big toe might get wet a little bit in the Jordan. But he's saying, go ahead and step on in. It's going to dry up. You're going to be okay. And God will do the same with you, because God is all powerful. And he can heal you and he can touch you today. Amen. How could a dead man rise? We've been criticized that. People that don't believe in the Bible, a dead man rose. And I don't know how God did it. I don't know how Jesus did it. And he got back out of the grave after being beaten dead. But he rose again. My mind is limited. I'd rather trust in an all-powerful God than a very limited me and you. How about you? I'm very limited. You're very limited. See, I got to take a nap. I have to go to sleep at a certain time. The older that I get, amen, I'm just looking forward to the 8:30 nap. Amen. The 8:30 sleep period. Yeah, we're going to sleep at 7 o'clock. Amen. Soon. Amen. Because we're limited. But God is not. He's all powerful. And we put our trust in God today. The second thought, somebody say, God is all knowing. God is all knowing. You don't know it all, but God does. Amen. God has all the knowledge. How will it end? How will my end be because of this certain thing that I'm going through? And I'm right in the middle, Lord. I don't see the end. Well, God does. And that's where trust happens in the Lord. Somebody say trust.
Trust.
And that's why he told the disciples in our passage, he told them, this is what's going to go down, guys. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to get whipped. I'm going to get flogged. I'm going to get turned over to this group. I'm going to die. And they had to put their trust in Jesus at that very moment. He says, you know what? At that one sentence where it ends, I'm going to rise again, but you got to trust me when you see me. I think, man, if I was on the cross, I would have been mad at people. Wouldn't you? I can't wait to get you, Judas. When I get down, where's Peter? Where's Peter? Why did Peter leave me, right? Maybe you don't see it the way I do. I would have been ticked. But not God. God was all-knowing. He knew how it was going to end. He knew Peter was going to come back. He knew his disciples, the one that said, come and see, would be back. Right, everybody? Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
Yeah. And he chose to trust, but he needs your trust now that he knows the end of it right now. That job may not be where it should be right now. That career, you students in this room, you may have some insecurities. Am I ever going to get married? And you're only 16. Come on. You need to go to college first. Yeah, someone's going to be there for you. You're right in the middle of your journey. God sees the end. We don't. And we need to trust God today. To be successful in the kingdom, you must trust God. Somebody say, trust God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. You haven't had any fun all day. Let's read this together on three. Are you ready? This side's doing pretty good. This side, come on. B minus, A plus. Come on, everybody rise up on three. One, two, three, go. He knows about everyone, everywhere. Nothing can be hidden from him. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel, they had all these rules. They had 10 commandments. And we should do those 10 commandments. They're right. They're precepts, they're laws that we should do. And you kill a lamb and you bring sacrifice. You do it all. It's real performance, works oriented. But in the New Testament, you know what it's about based on Hebrews 4:13? It's about your attitude. Get all funky on your attitude, like, y'all, I don't know what y'all are talking about. And God just lifts from that. You know what God, faith is an attitude of, yes, Lord, I know it's tough right now, but I know you're all knowing. You're going to help me. We're going to get through this. And faith is an attitude that God wants. Your righteousness, your right living depends on your attitude. Righteousness in God is right living, the right attitude that I have in all circumstances. It's easy to rah, 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 praise God. But how about when it's tough? It's tough as it is because we're human. Let's look at Jesus and have the right attitude. I don't know it all, but God does. How about you trust in that, right? And so never be afraid to trust your unknown future to an almighty God that knows everything. Amen? Yeah, I'm so glad I can be secure today that I don't know about tomorrow. But God does, and I'm with God. How about you? That's the safe place to be. The third principle, God is ever-present, a superpower. He's everywhere. Amen? Wherever you go, God is there. Amen? What a comfort to know that God is with you. Amen? The Bible says that Jesus was leading the way. He was going before them. The disciples were astonished. And there's this abiding presence because some people that followed were afraid. You're either going to be a little bit distant or you're going to be so close, it's going to be cool. It's going to be all right. We're with Jesus. As long as I'm with him, we're going to eat good. Amen. As long as I'm with him, there's going to be enough. Amen. If I get distant, then I start getting afraid. There's an abiding presence of the Lord, and God is calling us in this morning. Amen. Easter Resurrection Day 2019. Get close to Jesus. There's an abiding presence. Get near to the Lord right now. All problems, he's ever present to you. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says this, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You know what that word means? Never. Never, never, never. In the Greek, the tense is never. It's never, never. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Other people might, but the most important person in the universe will never forsake you, never leave you. And so that's why you can kind of get all, you know, yeah. So with confidence, I can say, the Lord is my helper. Chest bump, yeah. The Lord, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Yeah, amen. Yeah. I may not have all the answers, and neither do you because you're limited, but God does. Let's go to the Lord in our answers today, amen. I can face tomorrow because Jesus is with me. God is with me, and so can you. It's unknown, but God is still with us. It's going to be all right today, right? It's impossible to understand. The worst day ever was Good Friday for Jesus, but he gave us our best day. It gave us principles to live that when we would have a bad day, God could give us a good day because we could look at God. We're all going to mess up because no one's like Jesus. He lived it right. We don't. We try. We have principles and we strive for it. But even at the end of the life of Christ on this earth as a human, he still lived with purpose. He took that last drink and he so he could say one more sentence, one more, it is finished. And he said that so he could finish off the things that were before him for your life today. And I think, you know, in John chapter 19, verse 30, it says this, and after Jesus drank so he could say one more word, a few more words, because he still had to, he was human. It was showing God, fully man, that how death became our deliverance, his death would become our. He said, and he drank it, and he said, it is. And he bowed his head and died. Yeah, while on the cross, Jesus defeated Satan so we could have a new beginning. Right, everybody? Amen. The most powerful final finish there ever was this. It wasn't anybody else that died powerfully. Jesus, the most powerful death that ever was Christ in the past, the present, and ever will be, because Jesus, when he said it was finished, it was finished. And I kind of wonder, you know, because I question things and I ask out loud, Lord, why didn't you finish war? Why didn't you finish world famine? Why didn't you finish hatred and prejudice and racism and hate? Why didn't you finish all those ugly things that we see on the news at 6 o'clock? Why didn't you finish any of that? All the disasters that happen. And Jesus had nothing to do with that. He cares about people that go through tragedy. He cares about, Jesus had a sin assignment to extinguish sin. And so he finished sin off for your life today. See, we have this choice, free will. God could dial you in and make you a robot, a clone, that you could just be a good person all the days of your life, that you could do no wrong. And God said, you know what, I'm not going to fix the war or the famine because that's man's free will to do those awful things if they choose to do it. God wanted to fix the sin problem and make it a choice in your life that you would make a choice to live for him. And if you fully follow Jesus, if you follow him and abide with him, he'll change your life. He'll meet your need, and you won't want to do what you used to do. War will go away. Famine will go away. Lack will go away because you're with the Savior. Do you understand that? That's why we need God in our lives today. Amen. God is the only one that can take something worthless and make it worth in you today, and that's his presence in your life. Aren't you glad for an amazing Savior? Yeah, amen. Today, amen. Grip the Savior. Grip his example. Jesus was a finisher. He finished it so you could begin again. And what could you begin again? Wouldn't it be different if your life began in Christ, but it ended immediately like the thief on the cross? Today you'll be in paradise, and he died, and he was in paradise. That's a good testimony, but why not live 30 years for Christ as a man of God, a woman of God? Why not be that example your whole life and even have grandchildren that would know that Welita now is the one that follows Jesus? She's the rock. Amen. That takes more of a miracle of living a lifetime than it was to put a bullet in you and just get lost. You know, I live for Jesus for 1 second. Live a lifetime for the Lord today. Right, everybody? I want you to apply this message to your life today. And so when you walk out of here and get on 410 or go down Marbach Road, you can have a new beginning in your life because of what Jesus did when he said it was finished. You can make these declarations, these three statements. This I know, because he finished. This I know. I know this. I know that God loves me. God loves you. God doesn't want to blast you. He wants to. Bless you, amen. Some of y'all are going to catch up in a minute. It's okay, amen. Yeah, I want God. I always thought God's going to hurt me. God's that, like the Wizard of Oz, you know, behind the curtain. Whoa, I'm the mighty. No, God loves me, amen. God loves you. Amen. Have you noticed nobody's died for you lately? Have you checked that out? Nobody's going to die. Jesus died for you. That's how much he loved you. The last time I looked, not too many people were dying for you, right? And God loved you that much that he would die for you today. And he took on the punishments that belong for you. He took upon himself today. How much does God love you? This much. This much he loves you. Yeah, that much he loves you. And that's why Romans chapter 31 says this. And if God is for us, then who can be? Yeah. And since he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up. They said God was the ultimate crack addict because he sold off his son because he was so in love with you. You were his habit. He loved you that much. That's crazy love, isn't it? I mean, if it was me, and it was my son or daughter, see you later. You're going to die because I'm not going to give up my children. You would do the same, right? And God loved you that much that he gave up the ultimate. He gave his son. He gave, and I, that love that you have today when you do that Easter egg hunt with your children on some of your land in the backyard, you get in their honey and you watch and they get the golden egg or they get that silver egg. Maybe you get in Navas, we used to, when we were kids, we got the $5 egg. Some of y'all are putting 50s in there now, 20s, man. I want that faith. Amen. You stand back as parents now and you see the wonderment and the surprise in your children. Because God wants an intimate relationship with you that same way as you would have with your children. And you'd love them that same way. And you'd pour your heart out. And God loves you that same way as the child of God. And look what it continues to say. So because he gave up his son, which was the ultimate, won't he give us everything else? The small stuff? The healing that you need today? The restoration that you need in your family? The sickness that you're facing? The mind that's... God gives you the gifts that you need today if he gave you the ultimate gift. It does no longer mean that he doesn't love us, that we'll have trouble or calamity or persecution. Here you go. You're going back to work Monday. You're going to go back to school. You're hungry, destitute. This is what they were facing back then. In danger, treated with death. No! Despise all these things. The headache, that thing that's irritating you at work. The overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Because he loved us today. Amen. You don't know how good you have it. Amen. Yeah. God wants his best for you. There's a song that Chuck wrote called Believer's Lament. And we sang it. And we sang it today. And faith rose in our congregation. And lament, lamentations. There was this prophet named Jeremiah. And I think Jeremiah was bipolar. Because Jeremiah had this... He was always weeping. They called him the weeping prophet. Be happy. And then all of a sudden it's changed. So they didn't have medication back then in the Old Testament. And so Jeremiah cried a lot. And he began to, at this point, like that Believer's Lament song, how bad it was. God, I thought you'd always be here. Where are you? And that's what we feel sometimes. And as the prophet Isaiah was thinking how bad it was, how much he was suffering, all of a sudden this shift happens. And he begins to say, extra verse, Lamentations 3:21, one of my favorite Old Testament. Yet, from that suffering, how bad it is right now, yet I'm going to call to mind just how much God loves me. Therefore, I'm going to have a hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Are y'all with me, right? Amen. For his compassions never fail. They're anew every morning. And great is thy faithfulness. My Jesus, yes. Know that God is a good God, amen, and he loves you. The second thought is this, because it is finished, I know that God has a plan for me, a personal plan, a life map just for you, a destiny just for you today, every heart in this room. God's at work that ways that I cannot see, in ways that you cannot see. He works in the background if you're abiding with him. And if you believe that he has a plan for you, and I know he has a plan for you, every one of you. Years ago, and I've told you the story, I faced depression. And I never thought it would come upon me. I always heard people say, you know, they're depressed. And I'm going, you know, what are you depressed about? You live in a nice house. You're not a third world country. You got a car. You got a job. Why are you depressed? You have food on the table. And then I got depressed. I had these life-altering things that happened to me. We got hit by some things in the church. But you know what? I had to fake it. And I was a functioning depression guy and being a pastor. And so I faked it a lot because a lot of people do that in depression. I still had to, I had a paycheck, man. I needed a paycheck. So I had to go through the motions. And none of you, I don't think you realize that. It was like, that's what depression, it isolates you. And it makes you think, I'm the only one going through this. And I would cry out to God God, where are you at? Why don't you change things? Why don't you change me and help me? And so, you know what? I never really said I'm going to kill myself, but I thought about it. If I do this, then everything will be lined up for Irma. Everything will be lined up for the church, and everything will go on. And I was in survival mode week after week, and I couldn't fake it anymore. And something came to me, yet I will recall. And I began to say, they said, hey, God said, what do you preach about every Sunday morning? Well, Lord, I tell them to read the Bible when they're down. I tell them to serve with other people, to get with right relationships with other people that will feed them and bless them. And then the Lord didn't really, but he talks to me, said, why don't you do that, stupid? Why don't you read the Bible? Why don't you get alone with me? Why don't you get in communion with me and pray until that thing breaks off of your life today? And I realized instead of being so needy that I woke up blessed one day, all because I began to read the Bible, I began to journal, and I ice picked my way out of that hole. Slowly, it was slippery, but I got out of it because I began to do the things that God told me to do that I preach about. Read the Bible, dwell on the Word of God, get in right relationship with people. And God lifted me out of that miry clay. God lifted me out of that sinking sand, and he brought me up on level ground. And so today, on Resurrection Day, this is your Resurrection Day, that you can say goodbye to depression. Depression is finished. It is finished off my life. Cancer is finished off of my life. Sickness, lack, it's finished. It's finished. I have a new beginning now, right? And so Jeremiah 29:11. For all that are depressed in this room, or all that need have insecurity, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I needed to discover the plan of God for my life. And I said, you know, first and foremost, I need to be a husband to my wife. And I need to be around for her, to serve her. And then I need to be around for my children, to serve. So my life has to go on, because they need a legacy of faith. And then my church needs me. And so I had to go on and so you have to go on. It's finished because it needs to begin again for you today. Don't you know that today? Amen? Amen. And so I know that God has a plan for me. There was on the news segment, the Boston Marathon was just run. And this veteran that went to the war and came back without four of his friends ran the Boston Marathon. And at mile 22, and I believe marathons are 26 miles, those of you who have run 26-mile marathons, a super feat. This veteran ran the Boston Marathon. And at mile 22, he drops. He's injured. He can't run anymore. He trained for it, but he can't run anymore. And he says, I'm not going to quit. I got to finish. I have to finish. I have to finish. And I brought the clip for you, and Alex is going to show it to us. Let's watch this and see how he honored his fallen vets.
It's a moment most would have given up.
My legs, they stopped walking.
But with just yards to go in the Boston Marathon, Marine veteran Micah Herndon never even considered it.
So I crawled a little bit.
When he couldn't do that anymore, he dragged himself on his elbows, because it wasn't just about him finishing.
Ballard Hammer Juarez, just over and over again, over and over again.
Men he carried with him, two Marines and a journalist killed when Herndon's convoy hit an IED in Afghanistan. Now his mantra, etched on his shoes and in his heart.
It just reminds myself the pain that I'm going through. It doesn't compare to what they experienced, what they went through.
Matthew Ballard was his best friend. Today, Herndon still suffers from PTSD and survivor's guilt.
Personally, I'm sorry that you know. I'm sorry that they didn't come home.
Running is now his therapy. And while for him, this was just doing what he was trained for.
You never give up, you never quit.
He's now using the unexpected attention to make sure no vets are left behind.
We're not just a number. We did serve our country.
He was disappointed he didn't qualify for the New York Marathon. Today, he was invited to run here anyway.
Hopefully, I can finish this race better than I finished the Boston.
I don't think anybody doubts him. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
Hey, NBC News.
Let's
fans,
thank the Lord
for
all our veterans.
Out.
Amen. Come on. There are heroes. Thank God for every vet that served us, our country. That's why we can have a happy Easter in our backyard today and have children that come over, and we're blessed today to live in a country like America today. I love that vet because he says, you know what, I had to finish. He has PTSD and, you know, the survivor's guilt today. But see, there's a plan of God even beyond that for his life, and he's living out that plan of God, going through what he's going through because of the plan of God. You may have faced your yesterdays and the things that haunt you, but God's plan is still yes for your life. So don't give up today. Amen. Keep running your race. Only you can run that race, right? And the final principle is three. I know that it is finished, and I know this because it is finished today. I know that God will bring me through. Somebody say, bring me through. The Apostle Paul probably felt alone at times. And when he was standing alone at times in jail or for writing the gospel, standing before mighty men and kings as they were judging him for preaching the gospel, Jesus stood right beside him. He says that so powerfully in Timothy. And he said, you know, the Lord stood right beside me and I was never alone. And you're never alone in the hardest points of your life today. And in 2 Timothy 4:18, it says this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely into the what? Yeah, and that basically means, is he going to rescue me from this hell that I'm, or is he going to take me to heaven? Yes, he's going to do both. Yes, yes. Sometimes the grace of God comes and you get rescued. And thank God for that moment of grace and mercy that God has for us as his children. But you know what's even better? Heaven. Heaven is better because it's finally complete. Depression doesn't haunt you anymore. Insecurity doesn't haunt you anymore. Looking back doesn't haunt you anymore because heaven is a great place, right, everybody? And Paul knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what, that God, whether I get rescued now or it waits a while, God's still going to be with me. Amen? And so that's why he ended it, to him be all the glory forever and ever. Amen, right? There's this beautiful cross, the recent flames that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral. And after the morning after, because the cathedral started burning at night, and you're watching it on your news, and after the light came in, the cross was still standing in that beautiful cathedral. You can see all the rubble there. You can see the statues that have fallen and the pews that aren't there anymore. But the cross is still standing. The other thing that was interesting is the firemen went in and the responders went in afterwards and checked out the rope. Not only was the cross standing, the beautiful candles, the prayer candles that you would have in those certain denominations that are lit, that you go light and you say, I'm making a prayer that person's healed. I'm making a prayer, and they would light. Those were still lit. It's incredible, isn't it? Through the water and the trying to evacuate the flames, they didn't get extinguished, those little candles. The falling of other, they didn't get ignited and turn into greater fire. They stayed lit, small, powerful candles, prayers, prayer candles. I think your prayers are still lit before God. The cross is still standing. It's empty now. Jesus isn't hanging on the cross because a cross does two things. It brings me into right relationship. There's a cross that goes up and down. And I'm down, Lord. Here am I, down. And you are up in heaven. And I reach towards you, Lord. And we reach towards God, to an almighty God. And he brings us. We don't have to reach too far. All we have to say is, yes, Lord. Come to my life. And God touches us through the cross, the vertical. But you know what? It wouldn't be a cross if there wasn't any of this, the T. That T. That cross, it's not a cross, not unless there's a cross, unless there's an X. It's a T across it. And the T represents our relationships with each other. Your relationship with people, your relationships with together, being together. So speak to you right now. Some of you walked into this room and you need to end. It is finished with wrong relationships. There's wrong relationships because you got to let go of that to get the right relationship. You can't do the right relationship. Your wife is waiting for you. A wife, husband is waiting for you to have the right relationship. Children in this room, you got to let go of that wrong relationship so you can live for God in this room today. You need the right relationship, and that's what the cross is. Are you willing to take up your cross today? Jesus hung on a cross for you. You got to let it go, let it go, let it go, so you have the right relationships in your room. Jesus was out for the count, and he died, but he rose again today. And the cross, so you would have life today. And so the struggle that he faced today was a picture for us. And I just want to end with this thought today on the screen. My struggle has a purpose. Your struggle has a purpose. And my pain has an end. My struggle has a purpose today. Yeah, they really do. It's not just a why am I going through this, your pain, but it has an end. And it's going to end today. It's going to end this season with the resurrection power of God today. Jesus finished it so you can begin again. Amen. Would you bless the Lord today? Almighty God, you finished it for us so we could have a beginning. And now I bless the people of the Lord today for that beginning that they can have in their workplace today, that they can embrace that today. A new beginning, a resurrection day of a career today. Thank you, Father. As they're receiving right now the prayers that are rising up, Lord, in the name of Jesus that we prayed all week long, Lord, believing for this moment for the children of God today, that you would be all-powerful, Lord. Move what needs to be moved. We place it in your hands today, that you would be ever-present, that the people of God would know today that need you today, that you're right there. You're there. You're noticing what they're going through today, and God is on your side today. And then God is all-knowing. He has all the wisdom that you need, but you need to be with God so you have that wisdom today. Thank you, Father. Touch the people of the Lord. Provide for them today. Thank you, God. Thank you for the touch of Jesus. As your heads are bowed and your eyes remain closed today, in this room today, there are many that need to respond to God. You're far away from Him at this very moment. Surrender your life. Say, well, I'm not really a bad person. All the good things that you do are never good enough. If you're not the child of God in this room, they'll never be good enough. Because all it takes is one mess up and you're back to the same thing. The blood of Jesus, his debt that he paid, the debt that you owed today, was so much that you couldn't pay. You'd have to die. You'd have to hang on a cross and take his way. And it would take a surrender in your life today. Say, Lord, I've messed up my life. I'm empty. I'm lost. I need you today. You were once close with God, but you don't have a genuine relationship right now. You're fooling yourself. Humble yourself before the Almighty God right now, and he'll lift you up. You're in this room today. You need Christ in your life today. You're lost. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to just see your hand slightly lifted right now. If that's you in this room, would you lift up your hand slightly and say, remember me in prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer right where you're at. If that's you, would you lift up your hand right now? God bless you. Yes, beloved, you can put them down. Once you put them up, I see your hand. I saw a few hands. How about this side, making sure? Yes, even more. You can put them down. Yes, I saw. My sister, yeah, I see you. Somebody else, making sure you're in this room today. No one looking around. This is a private moment. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. You're my brother. Amen. I'm proud of you. Somebody else. About maybe 5 or 6 hands lifted, and you know if you lifted your hand. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call upon the name of the Lord. We pray this prayer. All, pray it loud enough that you could hear it in your own ear. The sinners that are saved by grace, the chief sinner that's preaching right now, he's going to pray it. We pray this prayer together. My Father in heaven, Jesus died for all my sins so I could have a new beginning. He said it was finished so my life could finish right. Thank you, Lord. I choose this day to have right relationship with you and then with others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a new beginning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God is good, right? Thank God for new life at Living Faith Church. Thank you, Jesus. Fullness of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. You don't know how we came to a place this morning to have, it took a war, it took a battle to get here. Amen. It wasn't what Jesus paid such a bigger price, but it took so much to get to where we're at right now at this moment. Amen. It cost a lot of people something in this church to do what they had to do this Sunday morning. Many of us enjoy this Sunday morning because of the price that was paid from all the servants of the Lord that worked behind the scenes and did what they did. Amen. For that, would thank the Lord just as an offering right now. Thank you, Jesus, for all the good people of Living Faith Church. They keep the lights on. They vacuum carpets, Lord. They teach children. And we want to thank God, Lord. They make sure that we're taken care of. They ush. They greet. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the people of God. Amen and amen. The house of the Lord is a great place. Amen. Amen. There's a survey card that's in your bulletin. And if you could take that out, I really want you to not look at me right now, but look at that. And if I see you looking at me, then I'm going to call you up here to help me. So look, find that bulletin. And if you need it, Alex has pens, and Howard probably will help out with this too. But that survey is very important, especially for all the leaders, your lifers here at Living Faith Church. You serve here. I want you to fill that out because you're a voice. I want to hear from you today. There's things that we'll form a sermon series about it called You Ask. You asked about it. You asked how to do it. I mean, sermon series, You Ask For It. There you go. And then we'll base it off the top needs that we get back today. Those on Facebook Live, if you want to go ahead and just maybe what's the greatest need that you have in your life, fill that out and we'll do a sermon series on it. You can look at that also. A small group that you would like to attend, we're doing them online also. Some of our people are putting their small group online, which is incredible to me. We're going to keep doing that and growing in that. Amen. And so there's all sorts of things that you can do. We'll have a picture taken and it'll be on there that you can look at that and you can answer those questions. It helps us also. But you that are here with us at Living Faith right now location, fill that out for me. Bring that back to a leader or put it in the offering plate. We'll use that as just a guide for this coming year. A small group will begin because of the greatest need on that, and that helps us today. That's what we do every Easter, and I thank God for it today. Amen. Are you finishing that up? Make sure that you do that. Hey, do you want to see some good news? Amen. On Good Friday, we had good news. The people of Marbach Manor, amen, we're blessed to be part of our great community. And so let's look at how we serve them. You'll watch them on the big screen. Let's go ahead and see that. Hey, cheer for yourself if you see yourself on the big screen. Is that cool? Yeah? Go ahead and do that.
I want to magnify your light. I want to reflect the sun. Cut like precious diamonds. With colors by the millions. This is the only world we know. And for now, this rental's our home. If we gon' be a reflection, gotta make this dirt rock glow. So you know.
Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people making music for the people. Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people, Jesus, music for the people.
Light shines bright. Lights in the city might be more than pretty, pretty. That freaky shine might be more than meets the eye. Anytime you see the sparkle in the dark, you might look deeper, deeper. It might be more than simply theater. Yo, that smile might be joy that's connected to the spirit. The spirit might be contagious. If you dare, you dare come near it. I remember, can't forget. He said you can't second guess. Sparkle as the light reflects. Rewrite and pay it forward checks.
Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Everywhere we go, music for the people to illuminate the soul.
God be the glory. Come on. Thank God for just the people that worked real hard for that day and the generosity of for candy and eggs and everything else that was done that day. Lots of hot dogs, amen. Lots of good things, amen. God's been good to us. We can't we've been blessed so much we have to reach, amen. You've given us so much, Lord, we have to give back, amen. You have your tithe and offering in your hand. I just want to bless you. Would you hold it, amen, in your hand? Let's ask for the blessing of God upon our giving. Father, thank you, God, that the gift and the giver today. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the generosity of what you're doing in this house, Lord. And it's modeling even for other communities of faith of what we can do when a church believes to reach other people outside the four walls. Thank you, Lord. Never let the well run dry, Lord, and it won't. You're the river of life. You're the one that has the abundance, Lord. And so thank you, Lord. We'll never lack vision if we're doing what God's told us to do. And so thank you, Lord, as we keep reaching, supply every need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Bless the people, the tither, Lord, in this room. You're rebuking the devourer for their sake this very moment right now as they're giving in the name of Jesus. And thank you for the abundance, Lord. Open up the windows of heaven and rain on blessings that they cannot contain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Stand to your feet. Let's give. Let's worship God in our giving. Let's sing the songs of faith out loud, strong. Amen. God's been good to us.